Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with me as we take a look at the mind. Yes, we're going to look at the mind. This satsang, this radio program, is being recorded for Saturday, March the 4th, 2017, and I am more than grateful that you chose to be with us. And if you are enjoying these programs, which I assume you are because you're listening to them, and maybe you've gone to the website at aspire.org and take a look at the TV programs that are there, and there are a lot of them. These are all sponsored by people who are very kind and generous, who see the bigger picture of life. They see what it is that makes this thing pulse, what makes this thing come alive. And it is about the spiritual essence that lives in all of us. Very few people move into this spirituality, but it can be done. And for those of you who appreciate what is being done on our Aspire website and in the world in general through Aspire, I hope you will consider being sponsors. A sponsor is a person who offers a donation, sometimes monthly. You can sign up for those, or quarterly, four times a year. And they're really very simple ways of becoming a sponsor. All you have to do is come to the website at aspire.org and see support. And you will see, there's a new section there, Why Support Aspire. And it'll tell you all about where your money goes, the tax-deductible gifts, the receipts we offer. And for sponsors, all sponsors, they get some very sweet things. One of the things is they get about 129 discourses from all the TV programs that I've made over the course of my 30 years of being on TV. And it's something that for a lot of people means a great deal. You can go and relive and re-listen to a lot of the teachings that would help you in personal transformation. You also get the message of the month. You get the podcast, the video cast, and the commentaries twice a month. So all in all, it's really a wonderful thing that you can offer to yourself and, more importantly, offer to the world. And I hope you'll consider being a sponsor. Just go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and go look at support, and it'll tell you about everything. You can sign up today and start listening to all those discourses whenever you want. You can download them. You can do whatever suits your fancy and whatever helps you. The mind. What is the mind? What are we doing with the mind? Most people, I feel, don't understand much about their mind unless they have a headache. And that's about as far as people go. They don't listen to that sound of one hand clapping, silence. The mind is a tricky little instrument the way we have built it. It doesn't have to be that way. And I get loads of questions about meditation, which I'm very grateful for, and what the mind is all about. So let's take a look at the mind. The first question comes from Jack. He does not tell me where he lives. My mind is muddled and full of fantasies. To be honest with you, I don't know if I do anything really correct with my mind. Can meditation help, Jack? Yes, the mind is a cesspool, isn't it? And it's because of only one thing. Try to understand this, Jack. It is due to my emotions. However I point that thinking process, however I point my mind, that is where I'm going to think from. Most of us think from our emotionality because our emotions have been, the best way to describe it is gratified too much, too much gratification. All this gratification keeps coming and coming and coming. We keep gratifying ourselves more and more and more. And in all of this gratification that we have, the emotions get addicted to the idea of what gratifies them. And then the next thing you know, that's all I'm thinking about is, how do I work hard enough to make enough money to gratify my emotions, my body? To appease that pain and that suffering that maybe I'm going through via some, you know, emotional wound that I had as a child, whatever. So once I understand that, once I get into that ever so slightly, and I start allowing the emotions to flow, I'm going to be only thinking about how to emotionalize my life and how to find new highs of emotion, adrenaline rushes and everything. And this is what a lot of people like to do. So you ask me, my mind is muddled and full of fantasies. All minds are muddled and full of fantasy. They are, because that's what we've done to them. We've entertained them too much through our emotions, watching movies and such. We don't have the inner discipline that is necessary. Now, I'll teach you about that right now. To really watch a movie or listen to a discourse like this or do anything we do without there being some kind of emotional background that is saying to you, when do we get to do this? And when do we get to do that? And I want to do this and I don't want to do that. Because the emotions only want the pleasantries of life. You say, to be honest, I don't even know if I do anything right. I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm going to assume, and I could be terribly wrong on this, okay? I'm going to assume that you're wondering if anything you do through your thinking is the proper way to do anything in your life. Maybe you don't think correctly, as you might imagine. There is no thought that is correct, as it were. You have to understand that. Thoughts are thoughts, and we create them out of desperate need, out of fear, basically. And people will say that it's creativity, but what is the creativity born in? That's the most important thing. There are so many beautiful, creative things you can do with your life and your mind. You have to have a little balance, though. You have to have the balance of some discipline to stay in the creative flow. And that flow can come through the heart, not the human heart, the spiritual heart. And once that creative flow is going, and the mind is set free to allow for that creative flow, then something of the other shore can show up. Something of love, something of mysticism, something of the mystic in you can start flowing into your life. So you're wondering if you think right. The best way to begin, honestly, Jack, is through meditation. There are some things I can only point to. I can't explain them to you. Meditation is not a technique to make you a better thinker, although you will start thinking differently after some practice in meditation. Meditation is about letting go of everything that encumbers me with fear and hate and anger. Meditation is about that discipline of just single-minded watching. It is just pointing towards one basic thought, that is watching your breath. Now, if you can watch your breath going in and out very gently, and if you can do it with the idea that there is no idea, no thought, that there is only the gap and the spaces between your thoughts, you will be alerted to a different way of thinking. You will have a different kind of experience. This experience exceeds anything you could believe in. People will tell you you need to believe. I say, no, that is not true. You don't need to believe. You simply need to awaken. And awaken to your heart. And if you awaken to your heart, which is not a thought, it is a presence. Meditation is about the presence of certain attributes that live within you that will bring you a great deal of insight. This insight is far different than the thinking processes we get involved in, where we're thinking one thought after another thought after another thought after another thought. Meditation is about a certain quality of awakening. In this awakening, there is a whole new life. It is good that you question, Jack, your thinking. It is very good. It is a sign that something is knocking at the door within you, saying, hey, wake up. Hey, wake up. That would be very true. And to begin to question your thoughts and begin to maybe learn to drop the ones that are trying to seduce you into believing in your gratifications will help you immensely in your meditations. Gratification and meditation do not work together. Just know that. If you can drop everything and breathe and watch, and I have lots of meditations on my website for you to get involved in that you could work upon. These things will help change the way you operate in your entire life, in your entire world. Trust me, it will work. So go take a look. Begin your practice. And your practice of meditation is also when you are not sitting formally. That's very important for you to remember. There is the formal sit, and then there is just your daily living. And you can watch your breath through everything you do and change the ebb and the flow of where you look at things from. If you look at them from silence, they will look totally different than looking at them from passion and emotion. I hope that helps, Jack. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. Next one comes from Fred, and he lives in, he just says, Central California. My mind can see both ends of any argument that I might find myself in. How do I know if what I am thinking is right, and which one is right, the left thought or the right thought? Fred. Okay, this isn't about politics, so I don't think you meant politics when you said left and right. So I'm going to go with that because I'm not a political guy. I don't know the left from the right. I don't know up from down. So politically speaking, in anything really, but that's that. Okay. How do you know which side of the argument is correct is kind of where I'm hearing you. Because your mind can see both sides. If you look at your mind and your thinking, and you must be very smart, because this is a really smart question, and it's accurate too, very accurate with a lot of people in this world. They can see both sides of the coin. This is a very good trait. This is a very good trait. It's a trait that says you are not hooked on prejudice and your thinking is not prejudiced yet. I don't know how old you are, but if you're not careful, you'll sink into prejudice and you don't want to do that. So you see both sides of any argument you're in or any discussion you're in, and you're asking yourself which one would be correct. Can't do that. Both thoughts could be correct. Both thoughts would have their merit. Both thoughts could be helpful to humankind. You can't do that. You have to go with your intuitive nature. And this is where the rub is. This is where the great difficulty is. The intuitive nature of us. What is the intuitive nature of any of us? How does it work? Where does it work from? The intuitive nature works from a place that is beyond thinking. Intuition is about that which is beyond Greg Penn thinking. It is where Greg drops right and left and is no longer in conflict. It's called duality. We live in dualistic thinking. And because I live in dualistic thinking, my mind can take this course or that course, this path or that path. It doesn't matter. Both paths, I would bet you, would come out of fear. I think from emotion, I think this thought. I think from emotion, I think that thought. Both of them are in kind of a conflict with each other, and it is in that conflict that I sit in my whole life trying to figure out which way is best. And in doing that, I basically am becoming prejudiced. I'm thinking only of myself. I'm becoming selfish. Well, the highest good for me. I hear people talk about that. I only want the highest good. Really? What if the highest good to you is the lowest path you could take? Remember when the highest good for you was this or that and how it turned out? It didn't turn out so high. It isn't about good. People want to believe that life is about good and bad. This is dualistic thinking. This causes me to make choices that are basically selfish, pretentious. Why would I do that? Why would I live in something that pretentious, that unkind? What is your highest good might not be for the highest good of your future. What if your future changes? You change. Everybody is constantly changing. What if all of this stuff that you and I are doing for our highest good later on proves to be nothing but falderal, a mistake, because life change, people change, energies change? What is the highest good? If I'm only seeking good, I must believe in the bad, because where there is some kind of quasi-faith in good, there has to be the same quasi-faith in what is bad. I must be avoiding things. I must be wanting more and more and more. And that is not the way to awaken. So sit in the middle. Fred, sit in the middle. And here's what you do. You sit in the middle between right and left, and you want nothing with all of your heart. If you can want nothing with all of your heart, you will find your mind calms down. Your emotions will look silly and immature. Wanting the quote-unquote highest good for yourself will only show you the way to more difficulties in your life, more complications. You will not be clear. Want nothing with all of your heart. And you start to realize the world you live in, then the life you live in, and then the entire universe that you are. When you and I put an end to desire, to wanting, that is when our problems start to move away. There will always be issues in the world because this is a world of trial and tribulation, my friend. It truly is. So they're never going to go completely away. And I don't want you to think, oh, if I do this, I'll be complete. No, it isn't like that. You and I live in the ebb and flow of an oceanic existence here on Earth. This is the way it is here on Earth. If I'm always fighting with my thoughts about the highest good or what I want or what's right and what's wrong, who's right, who's wrong, I'm going to set a course for myself of utter confusion. And eventually I'll wish that I had not chosen the path I chose. We live in sentimentality. We live in emotionality. We live in opposition to life itself. And that's the sad part of the way we live, but it's what we do. If you really wish to go forward in your life, sit in the middle, Fred. Meditate. Be quiet. Watch. You will learn so much about the quality of our thoughts and what it truly means to be in illusion and delusion. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Trudy in, where is this? Washington State. Greg, I hear you talk about it in the Eightfold Path. Please tell me again. What is right mind, as Buddha put it? Ah, Trudy. Right mind. What is right mind? It is a mind no longer seeking to consider what is good and bad. It is a mind not seeking to consider what's for my, as I said to Fred here, what is for my highest good. There is no highest good. People need to believe that. People who believe in highest good are just selfish and ignorant. That's what they do. And that's their division. That's their dividing point. That's their focus. And they don't know it. So they live in very hectic ideas and ideals of wanting good in their life and only good. In this world, there is many, many different things. Right mind is a mind no longer in conflict with any of it. No longer in conflict with what is good or bad. No longer in conflict with the past or the future. A mind no longer in vengeance, in pride. A mind that can let go of, well, the mistakes that not only others have made in your life, but the mistakes you and I have made in our own life. And then realizing they weren't mistakes at all. Because they start to change, you start to realize, this is the only way I could have grown. This is the only way it could have happened for me. And I should not be pointing fingers at people and making them the enemy or the source of my difficulties, but to forgive them and realize both of us knew not what we do and what we did. It is the end of dualistic thinking where I'm no longer considering what I want over what I have. It is ending dualistic thinking about judging other people as bad or as good. The right mind is a mind that is no longer judging at all. It isn't looking for some answer. It isn't looking for something. It isn't looking to be better. It isn't looking to be worse. It is just living in the middle way, the middle path, giving up the idea of thought itself. I cannot emphasize this enough to you, that the power of giving up thought itself and what that can do for you and how that can help you is beyond any words I could offer to you. When you realize that it was only thought itself that was the issue of your life, it was only in the thoughts that you and I believed in, the thoughts that were imposed upon us by our emotionality that undermined our entire life, it is only in that moment that you and I have the key to everything in our life and the meaning to everything that exists in this universe. It is only in that moment. So give up your thinking. Give up your thought. Right mind. A mind no longer fighting with itself. A mind no longer seeking to consider what's better or worse. It is a quiet mind that lives in the middle way, in the heart of life itself. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for your attentions today. I really deeply appreciate it. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful day. A wonderful day. A mindful day. And thank you to my beautiful questioners. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.